name of the game is wrestling, and we wish we can get our hands on you and the Fun Heart to take all of your body parts and rip them off one by one.
Put ECW where it belongs, the afterthought of the WWE, their developmental program on national television. Let's put it where it belongs. Let's get that straight.
Oh, Lordy, but Jesus, I just went through this whole thing on the other freaking tape. I went to play it back and went two sentences and then went... All right, I haven't had a beer yet. It's 5 to 11. This is killing me because I'm going to do this sober.
I'm like, do these assholes not see a pair of boxer briefs laying on the floor? Luna is one of the most beautiful women that I've ever saw. And I'm not lying.
This week, we are privileged and honored to bring you this very special episode of OWW Radio, live at the 45th anniversary of the prestigious Cauliflower Alley Club reunion from the beautiful Gold Coast Hotel and Casino in Las Vegas. Now, here are your hosts, Nick Anthony and Alan Wotan.
All right, online, World of Wrestling, OWW, Genesis, WTR, Wild Talk, Radio Networks, Nick Anthony, Alan Wolchek, broadcasting live, as Tim just mentioned, this Tuesday night from the Gold Coast Hotel and Casino, on site at the Cauliflower Alley Club Reunion and Convention. What's up, boys? You guys are tuned in to online, World of Wrestling Radio, OWW Radio, where fans and legends come together. Whether you are a viewer of WWE's Monday Night Raw, NXT, Superstars, or Friday Night SmackDown, TNA Impact, Ring of Honor, the Indies, we talk to them all, including MMA, man. We want to hear from you, and we've made it easy for you with our toll-free telephone number. It's 888-357-9876. 888-357-9876. Hit option one. Man, email address is radio at onlineworldofwrestling.com. That's radio at online. worldofwrestling.com. We are live at the Gold Coast here at the CAC convention, and what better place to bring OWW Radio, where fans and legends come together. Some somber news, sad news, as we start the show off. Alan Wojcik, Aaron Kendrick also joining me here on OWW Radio. What's going on, guys? We mentioned Gene Kaniski. Eugene. As a matter of fact, his name is Nicholas. Eugene Nicholas. He died April 14th, Canadian professional wrestler, father of wrestler Nick Kaniski and Kelly Kaniski, Canada's greatest athlete. What do you say, Alan?
Well, yeah, that's what he was billed as. He was billed as Canada's greatest athlete and former AWA World Heavyweight Champion, former NWA World Heavyweight Champion, and my generation will remember him as the referee for the main event of the first ever Starrcade. He refereed Harley Race and Nature Boy Ric Flair and was a staple of the Vancouver wrestling scene for decades. And amazing enough, I found out on his Wikipedia page, he last competed in 1992 with two guys as his tag partners in a six-man match. You may know them as Chris Jericho and Lance Storm. So this guy had a reach, and he was like a lot of former wrestlers, including the legend Stu Hart. He played football. He played in the Canadian Football League for the Edmonton Eskimos and was trained by another legend, Dory Funk Sr. So it's a tough loss for a lot of people, and I'm sure in Vegas he was probably well talked about. I mean, 81 years old, and it's a sad thing. And and I know this is going to sound real horrible to say, but it's kind of nice to talk about a wrestler who lived a full life.
He's in that category with Hodge and Humperdinck, you know, collegiate athletes as well, moving over to professional wrestling and very successful at doing so.
Oh, absolutely. And I said, Big Thunder, as he was known. He is a big guy. I mean, to hold the NWA World Heavyweight Championship from January of 66 to February of 69 before he lost it, in Tampa, Florida, to another former world champion, Dory Funk Jr. And
Dory trained him, didn't he? Yeah.
He was trained by Dory Sr.
Dory Funk Sr., yeah.
He was always known. I've met some legends here in Florida, like Mike Graham, who grew up in the Florida scene and always said he was a very kind person, never had a cross word for anyone, and that it's a sad situation, but you know, at 81 years old, he had nothing to complain about. You know, big family, as you mentioned, two of his children got into the business that he was in too, so it's a sad situation, but like I said, he lived a good life and seemed to enjoy it along the way.
Yeah. I was reading also his wiki page, and he teamed up with Tolis, man, one of my favorite wrestlers from back in the day, man. Don Tolis?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
One of the most evil wrestlers with a fork knife or anything else you can get his hands on.
You want to know about a heel character. Well, both of these guys were great heel characters. But Don Tolis, man, he was brutal.
Yeah, well, unfortunately, Aaron and I are not in Vegas, despite what the way the intro happened. Aaron is at home in the office, deep underground, and I'm holding the fort down in Tampa, Florida. But for those that aren't able to do this, we're going to let you know that there is no guest tonight. There is no special, super-duper cool interview.
We do have break-in. I mean, I guess it's called break-in, I don't know.
Yeah, there is stuff. Jason Dedrich will be joining us later on if you want to consider him a special guest. And yeah, we will talk tons of stuff, the lockdown pay-per-views, the missing in action people, including an entire roster of wrestlers.
Here's something that
champion, tons of stuff.
Here's something. I just got a message from Jason just now. This may have something to do with Wrestlicious.
Oh God!
And Johnny Caffarella. Well, so no, this is going to be positive though. Something
okay.
Probably that has to do with a new promotion. I'm thinking. I don't know.
Is it another action comedy show? Because we are the number one action comedy radio with a wrestling themed radio show, and the longest running episodic wrestling show in television history.
And speaking of Monday Night Raw, was that horrible? This MacGruber thing. You know, I got a feeling, and I know the ratings were out, and they did, what they do, a 3.0? They
did a 3.0 to TNA's Matt. Oh, my God, they broke one, but that's where they stopped. They stopped at a one, Aaron. And Aaron and I haven't talked about this the last couple weeks with you and I here doing other assignment stuff. We kept joking with each other going, one of them is going to, TNA's got to crack a one. And I don't understand. We'll get into this the entire hour, fans. And don't be afraid to get involved with us on the phone lines at 888-357-9876, option one. The Almighty.
There's JR.
There's JR. Cool.
The
Almighty Sir Rockin, enjoying his April 20th, will be able to assist you with all that stuff. And you can also Skype us at WTR_Sunday_night. And it's just pretty wild. Oh, Sir Rockin is Skype. That's right. You can use Sir Rockin's name to get him on the Skype situation. And we were talking last night. Aaron wasn't, unfortunately. Nick and I were kind of texting each other during the show. And after the show, and I warned him, I said, because he's in Vegas, so they're a couple hours behind. And I said, did you watch Impact yet? And he said, no. I said, you definitely want to click over there towards the end. And, oh, my God, Captain 420 himself, Rob Van. Oh, crap, forgot what I was saying. Yeah, damn.
Hey, is puff, puff, pass,
TNA,
man.
Is your new TNA World Heavyweight Champion, and yeah, that's pretty cool, but apparently, according to Gerwick.net, they're reporting that Styles was not happy dropping the TNA World Heavyweight Championship last night on Impact. In addition to being upset about the loss, he was mad that Rob Van Dam neglected to hook his leg on the final pinfall. After the match, he changed and immediately left Universal Studios Florida without talking to others. The backstage mood was mixed, with some feeling that AJ was being, well, a bit of a baby for not wanting to drop the championship. Hold on. As others felt, management didn't keep Styles strong as he looked weak, losing the strap for the second time, without Nature Boy Ric Flair in his corner, because Flair was banned from ringside Sunday night during the lockdown match where the Pope got the pet, proved AJ Styles once proved again the pen's mightier than the sword. Now, at recent house shows, Styles has apparently been keeping to himself and not focusing on events, including watching monitors backstage. So my question to Nick and Aaron is, is this like, I understand the reason why they put the belt on Rob Van Dam, but the bigger question is this argument right? Is AJ, crying and taking this ball and going home, or are both of you happy that Rob Van Dam's the world champ right now? Aaron, what do you think, man?
Well, I think Styles, first of all, he's just, like you said, he's being a baby about it, because if he's champion, then soon enough it's going to have to come to an end. And that's the thing right there that he's not understanding. And I don't get why he's not understanding it, because it's not his first time as champion. And Rob Van Dam, I mean, I'm happy he's got the belt now. But you don't think it's a little too soon for a newcomer into the company?
Yeah,
no, are you kidding?
This
RVD.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know if Nick was about to bring this up, but this isn't the first time this has happened. I like to call to the stand Christian Cage and Rhino and anyone else that seemed to come over from the WWE roster.
But they were there for more than a month.
They were. I mean, but they were immediately shoved into main event areas. And is this another case of another guy, because is he pushed to the belt, Nick, because he is a former WWE name that the mainstream fan's going to know who Rob put your thumbs to your head? Is that why this happened, or what do you think?
You're exactly right. Just because he is RVD and he has that fan recognition and he can actually draw, just like the Bubble of Love Sponge thing, he can draw fans into the promotion or into viewing the promotion. And that's exactly why they did it. We know AJ Styles has a following, but he's still not as recognizable as RVD. And Aaron, you brought up a good point. Any good champion knows how to drop a belt and walk out of the arena with his head hung high and say, you know what, I'll be back. I haven't put in the years as RVD has put in. I have the recognition, RVD. Let's do this for the betterment of the promotion, not the betterment of me.
It's called paying your dues.
Exactly.
So Styles hasn't paid his dues by being with the company for 7 years? He's been there since day one.
Okay. Again, it's the wrestling industry, not just solely the promotion. RVD's been up and down the roads, man, right?
And has been out of action for years. He sat at home while he smoked and bonged and ran a comic book shop while Styles was basically carrying TNA. Granted, a 1.0 on the thing gets you to where you're doing. I mean, Styles was WWE, for fans that don't remember it, this is a guy, AJ Styles, who turned down a developmental deal from WWE, which is unheard of in this business. And believe me, I've interviewed AJ 3 different times in person. And AJ, but it's weird to hear that kind of story after meeting AJ face to face, that he basically pitched a fit and like, I don't want to lose the title tonight. He turned into a 1990s Shawn Michaels, and I'm sorry to bash Shawn for a moment there, Aaron, but the 1990s Shawn Michaels, who was drug abusing and this and that, and with the click, that sounds like a Shawn Michaels thing that I don't want to drop the title belt. Now, obviously, we'll see what happens on next week's Impact if this was a situation, because it's always a situation. We've had this discussion here on the show, and I've had it at indie shows. The champ usually, the challenger chasing the champ is always a lot better sometimes when it's a babyface chasing him. So, man, this is a guy that they hotshot at RVD coming in where he took out Sting inside of 10 seconds on his debut, and you tease him with Jeff Hardy that, hey, maybe they'll make a tag title run, and all of a sudden it's like, I mean, it was weird because, and all of this happened, guys and fans, to get a 1.0 rating against Raw that had one guy from their entire roster, and Will Forte and Kristen Wiig from MacGruber, that unless you're watching Saturday Night Live, you got no idea who these cats are. And I'm sitting there watching and going, okay, so he's a MacGyver ripoff. And I happened to say it to one of my friends today when I stopped by his job to talk. I said, I know we've discussed this guest host theory for a while, but we should on this show, and I don't know how Corey and Scott would feel about it as producers, and we'll put the idea to Sir Rock.
Raw should be boycotted by everyone.
Right. What we should do is, it's not WWE Raw anymore. It's the WWE Raw talk show. Because instead of going on Leno, Letterman, Ellen, Oprah, Conan, whoever, Carson Daly, whoever that's out there, don't go on their stuff to produce you guys anymore. Go on Raw. They'll put you over like crazy. They'll put you on and they'll let you pub your product.
When I saw Khalid come out from the back of the ring, Khalid Uber or whatever they called him, I knew it was done. It was done after that. I don't see why anybody would watch Raw anymore after this. And then to see King and Cole just go with it as, you know, and King even said it. He's watching Raw and every week is something different. I'm thinking these guys are getting really burnt out from this. JR is a talk on OWW Genesis right now, and him sitting down with Dixie Carter, if that's real or not, if it's a rumor, I don't know. I'm going to try to get a hold of JR. We just walked by. I'm going to try to get a hold of him and get some information. He's going to tap dance around it, but I'm going to try to get a hold of him and see if the story is true or not.
Yeah, well, that's another thing if you want to bring that up, because apparently he sent out I don't have a Twitter thing. I know on OWW we do that Aaron pubs at the end of the show. But I mean, apparently he had a Twitter that he sent to Taz that was supposedly meant to be private and became public, and it was kind of derogatory towards Mike Tenay, and I don't understand. I mean, they already eliminated Don West from this announcing team and brought Taz in, and not for nothing, I don't know how other fans feel about it, and please feel free to call in and tell me if I'm a moron. My friends and family do it all the time. I don't tune in to watch Raw, Impact, Ring of Honor on HGNet, or any other show. I could care less if it's Ross, Tenay, the late Gordon Soley's ghost coming back, Lance Russell.
Wait a minute.
Mark Lawrence and World. I don't care. I'm there to watch the wrestling product.
Yeah, but they add to the product. And what are you talking about?
The majority of the time, I've got the show muted because of that. And I'm glad I didn't have it muted last night because everyone that's not a wrestling fan learned, yeah, it's a work, kids. When you are watching your world, and Nick and I talked about this, your world heavyweight champion, Jack Swagger, in a match with The Undertaker, and this is definitely the fault of the director, whoever was the director of the show last night, should have gotten bitch slapped by Vince McMahon, Stephanie McMahon, and any woman in the McMahon. Hell, Shane McMahon's kid could have walked in and smacked the director and said, you had a hard cam shot of a ref spot with Jack Swagger and Taker, and Taker is verbally calling the next spot on camera, and Swagger, with the camera on him, says, what?
Yeah.
My jaw hit the floor. My iced tea almost hit the floor. I mean, I'm happy that the draft is coming, because maybe we'll draft all these guest hosts and ship them to Antarctica so the Penguins can, you know, enjoy them.
And let me add something else. HD is not doing any favors for The Undertaker. Undertaker is actually looking like a dead man because he looks worse. I said this before. He looks worse than Hogan and Flair. He looks bad. Undertaker, and I love Taker, but I think it's about time for him to hang up those boots, man, because he's not looking very good. I think Shock brought this up from Genesis. He said, it's getting painful to watch Taker walk down the ramp. It's getting really bad. 888-357-9876, option 1. 888-357-9876, option 1. Should we go to Jason Dedrich now, or what do you want to do?
If he's available, I think Jason? The Rockin' wouldn't have a problem with it.
You want to do that now? Plain and simple. All right, well, let's take a break, come back with Jason Dedrich and his announcement. Huge announcement. He said it's going to involve Johnny Caffarella and directly with Wrestlicious and this whole thing that's going on. Jason wanted to be on when we talked to Caffarella a couple of weeks back, a month back, whenever he was. He really wanted to lay into his ass because, you know, Jason is with Chick Fight. Mm. That's the company that cheerleader Melissa, Kong, they all were a part of it. Of course, and that's in close relations with Prazak. So,
unfortunately,
they
Aaron
have
and
a
I
real passion with women wrestling.
Unfortunately, Aaron and I don't remember this Wrestlicious thing, man, because I think it had something to do with the Led Zeppelin last week and some sort of psychedelic mushrooms. And wow, man, I mean, It was a serene, happy place last week, and hopefully it'll be serene when Jason Dedrich comes in. As Nick said, there's a break coming, man, and enjoy your April 20th thing, whether you're a fan of it or not. I mean, I'm a straight edge person, so that's not happening here, but hey.
CM Punk, straight edge. Hey, you know what? I also have, I put some videos, Rock, you got those videos. You can put them up on the screen if you, videos. I got some photos of me here at the Cauliflower Alley Club, with some of the stars that are here. We're gonna be giving away something as well to some of the best callers of the night. I got a couple of things that I got from the convention. I got Four Horsemen with J.J. Dillon autograph pick. He signed it for some lucky listener. Swimming with Piranhas, Surviving the Politics of Professional Wrestling, written by Howard T. Brody. James
awesome
Cornette.
Book.
Yeah, you read it, man?
I've met Howard Brody. It's an awesome book. He's a great person. If you ever wanted to learn about the NWA in the 1990s and Florida wrestling, and definitely get it. If Nick's giving it away, dial it in. Get that book, man. It's an awesome book.
I'm giving it away. Well, I'm not just giving it to anybody. It's going to be for the best call of the night. The foreword was done by James Cornette. He's also in the news. We'll get to that. And J.J. Dillon. Wrestlers are like seagulls. From McMahon to McMahon. I got that book. I'll be giving that away, too. J.J. signed it, and also Scott Teal, who is the publicist of the book. He signed it as well. So I got three things I'll be giving away here on OWW Radio. We'll take a quick break, come back with, who is it? Jason Dedrich coming on. He's the founder, not the founder, he's the owner of OnlineWorldOfWrestling.com. Quick break, come back. 888-357-9876, option one, OWW Radio.
OWW Radio. All right, Online World of Wrestling is proud to present its official forum, OWW Genesis, the gold standard of wrestling forums. OWW Genesis hosts over 50 active forums, which include news, results, the WWE section, TNA, ROH, independent and international discussion, women's wrestling, 8 video forums, OWW forum games, MMA, wrestling video games, and wrestling interests. You want more? Okay, Genesis also has forums dedicated to wrestling promotions of the past, ECW, WCW, and the golden age of professional wrestling. More? Okay, Genesis has more to offer its community with a variety of special features such as OWW Undisputed, Debate League, Bloxest, All Time Pose, What If, Fair or Foul, even an eFed called Takedown. More? Okay, OWW Genesis is also proud to be the official community forum for Chick Fights and OWW Radio. More? Okay, you'll find me there, Nick Anthony, and all the producers and many others right there at Online World of Wrestling's official forum, OWW Genesis. It's the gold standard of wrestling forums. It's the gold standard! Okay, that one hurt it. That one hurt it.
As the NHL regular season has come to an end, the Calgary Flames are heading home. They suck. Which now means Wednesday nights are free to be geeky. Join myself, Omega, and that guy that we'll eventually put into the intro, Mace, every Wednesday night as we bring you Geek Talk done right, Wednesday nights at 9 p.m. Eastern, right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Godfather of Extreme, Rob Parks. Tune in every Saturday, midnight-ish, for CB Radio, right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
A certain passion. Maybe you're a geek, a wrestling fan, a sex enthusiast, or you just need something to do for the evening. Then come check out the Wild Talk Radio Network, providing you with the latest in online entertainment. Whether it's getting in the ring with Wrestle Talk Radio, or getting a little R-rated with CB Radio, or anything goes. Or whether you just want to play a game of Dungeons & Dragons with the geeks over to Talk We Talk Live. All you gotta do is head on over to www.wildtalkradio.com and check out all of our daily programming. Wild Talk Radio Network. Come and get wild with us.
All right, 888-357-9876, option 1, 888-357-9876, option 1, man. Let's see, live at the Cauliflower Alley Club, Las Vegas, Nevada, Nick, Allen, and Aaron here on OWW Radio. Jason Dedrich was called away real quick. You know, the baloney blowout is starting in about, what is it, 30 minutes from now or so. Right at 7 o'clock, top of the hour. So he had to be called away real quick. He is on the board of the Cauliflower Alley Club. So we'll get with him real shortly. David Reese, I just got off. Just seen him walk by. He's scheduled to come on to be a part. He's going to call us real soon. He's given a seminar. A lot of these seminars are going on here at the Cauliflower Alley Club, and he's one of the ones that gave a seminar the other day. He's got one tomorrow as well. What is his seminar? The Secret Life of the Wrestling Fan. We'll find out what that's all about with David Reese coming up here shortly. But in the meantime, let's go back to Monday Night Raw, TNA, the Monday Night War. You want to go to the phones first? You want to get that caller out of the way first? All right, let's do that. Caller, your name and where you're calling from, sir. What's up? Anybody? Nope. All right.
If there's someone there, we can't hear him. Sorry.
He's probably muted or something. 888-357-9876. Call us back. Unmute your mic or something. 888-357-9876. Option 1. Radio at onlineworldofwrestling.com is the email address. Back to Monday Night Raw and TNA Impact. I was mentioning how The Undertaker looks horrible. HD is not really doing much for him. What do you guys think about that? Undertaker, we know he's got this WrestleMania streak. What do you think Undertaker is going to do? I believe they're going to get to 30 and he's going to call it quits. Well, I think he's going to get to 30 and then he's going to hang it up.
Yeah, I don't see another 12 years for The Undertaker, Nick.
I don't know if I see another 12 months for The Undertaker, unfortunately. and this kind of comes up along with the Monday night draft with between Raw and SmackDown this coming Monday, which will be 3 hours, so TNA will get murdered again. Does honestly somebody draft The Undertaker, or is he right now, Nick, you know, is he like Andre the Giant? Is he the equivalent of Andre the Giant, that he's a novelty and he should make certain appearances, or should he be an active member of a roster?
Well, should he be an active member of the roster? I think he should take a back seat, much like Hogan is taking a back seat. Well, he should take that back seat, much like Ric Flair should take that back seat in TNA. But I don't see it happening with The Undertaker. You should just hang it up and move on.
Apparently, we do have a caller online. Welcome to OWW Radio.
Hey, what's up?
Hey, who would you be, sir?
This is Joe over in New York, representing.
Hey, Ella.
All right, man, what's going on?
Not much. What's on your mind?
Nothing. I was watching the Impact, and I was glancing at Raw as well. The joke of the show was. I like that RVD one last night.
Do you feel that it was done just to try to draw ratings, and would it have done better if they had actually announced the idea of, hey, RVD might get a title shot in the near future?
Yeah, I definitely think, because it was weird how they had the pay-per-view Sunday, which I saw, and Polk had his title shot, and it's kind of just, like, forgotten about now.
Yeah, that's the thing. Like, I was talking about it a couple of days ago. That's the thing that gets me about TNA pay-per-views. Like, they just go into the pay-per-view, and then the next night, it's like it never happened. And they just cannot put over pay-per-views like that. I mean, look at WWE. WWE, on the other hand, they go in there and they just stick that pay-per-view down your throats and make you remember it. And that's the difference between WWE and how you can remember their pay-per-views and TNA and how you can't remember their pay-per-views.
That's a good point. I like how they had all the cage matches. I thought that was a great pay-per-view. The Anderson Angle match was epic. You didn't like it?
Go ahead.
No, I didn't too much like the Lockdown pay-per-view. I like certain matches, like the Anderson Angle match was good, and I even liked the Team Hogan Team Flair match. But the majority of the pay-per-view, I didn't like it too much, man.
Wait. You actually enjoyed the dumbest ending in wrestling pay-per-view history?
It wasn't that bad of a dumb ending, though. What do you expect? What are you expecting?
I didn't expect half of the wrestlers in the match to play dead in the ring while the crackhead kid climbed up a ladder and poor James Storm once again as a tackling dummy. And that happened in 2006
wanted to draw attention to the top of the ring. Why would they draw attention to what's happening in the ring when they wanted everybody to watch what was going on in the top?
We brought this up on Wrestle Talk Radio after the pay-per-view, and we all agreed. It was just, it almost seemed like they did all this stuff. Everybody played dead. The crackhead kid will do his spot on top of the ring. Oh yeah, maybe it's me personally, but I mean, it was almost like the finish of the damn match was the afterthought. It almost seemed like everybody was looking around, going, "Oh yeah, you want to pin somebody, please?"
Yeah,
it made it seem like that everyone in that match, dude. It didn't matter what any of the eight guys in the ring did, as long as the Immortal Bald Spot and Ric Flair got their shine.
Oh, come on,
and got their thing going. They made it feel that way. And anyone that was sitting in St. Louis probably was sitting there going, "What the heck, man?" Maybe they were sitting there going, "Maybe I should have taken Stone Waltman's advice and stayed home."
I don't like the hate that's going around for Hulk Hogan, though, man. A lot of people are the Immortal Bald Spot, and he's old, and he should stay out, and things like that. Yeah, this guy has a place in professional wrestling still. This guy put wrestling on the map for us. He brought it out to the light.
Big,
you want to call him the Immortal? What did you say? Say it again.
I'm a big fan of Hogan. I'm 100% behind him in TNA. I think it's excellent.
I'm with you, man. I have nothing but respect for Hulk Hogan. I would never say the Immortal Bald Spot and all this other stuff about Hogan. He has a place in the industry.
Yeah.
Hey, man,
sitting backstage, never appearing on camera. Because he's scary.
Hogan was on camera a lot, but, you know, he's backing off somewhat a little bit, I think. I mean,
Well, they're still trying to build the promotion, Alan. Come on. Yeah.
Build it. It's been around for almost 8 freaking years. It's like Hogan sitting there going, being out on a boat somewhere in the water, and they found
around
all these people living on it, and suddenly go, "Look, I found all you people."
It's been around, but it hasn't had the publicity that it's getting now. So they're still building on it.
Oh, wow.
Come on, dude.
Wow.
Caller, what's your name, by the way?
This is Avery, calling in from the CAC.
Oh, not you, Dave. I'm talking to Caller real quick. We'll bring you up. What's your name, though?
Joe?
All right, Joe. Joe, send us an email to radio@onlineworldofwrestling.com. radio@onlineworldofwrestling.com. And thanks for your call, okay?
All right, thanks.
All right. We'll go to Dave Reese now. He is at the CAC with me here. The Baloney Blowout is coming up shortly. Joe basically said that he's with me on Hulk Hogan and the whole feel over at TNA. I think big things are happening, especially if Jim Ross heads to the table. Dave Reese joining us here at the CAC. Dave, what's your opinion on it?
Well, I think he definitely has a place to has a role to play. You know, fans are still into him, still can get things going. Yeah. I think it has to be done carefully so that he's not overexposed and doesn't become the center of the action where one of the younger guys should have. But he has a big role to play.
Absolutely. So you're here at the CAC and you had this big seminar. You're telling me, dude, it starts at 9:30 in the freaking morning. I don't know how you woke up for that, but.
I don't know how anyone woke up to listen, but we had about 50 people there. I was talking on the psychology of the wrestling fan and what we get out of going to matches and what we get out of watching.
The secret life of the wrestling fan, and what was part one basically about?
Part one, I talked a little bit about just the basis of suspension of reality and how we all love what goes on, and whether we at another time know that it's not competitive like football or baseball, that we still love the competition, love the excitement, and are still as involved on an emotional level, even more than a lot of other sports.
I see. Part two, and what are you focusing on tomorrow?
Tomorrow we're going to be doing a little bit different. We're going to be following up on that and talking about the new media and how that's affected wrestling and wrestling fans, the internet, and particularly Facebook, Twitter, radio. The fact that everybody knows everything instantaneously. You know, you go back to the territory days, and you know, you got something happening on one side of the country, and then happen a couple weeks later at the other side, and no one knew. Now everyone knows everything right away.
That's funny you brought that up with the new media in Facebook and Twitter. We found out a couple of days ago that JR wrote on his Twitter page or Facebook, whatever it was, writing a message to Taz. He may have did it accidentally and released it to the whole world about Mike Tenay.
Yeah, got to be real careful what you put up there. And, you know, you go on Facebook and you never know whether you're talking to someone who's legitimately in the industry, whether you're talking to someone who's a faker or who has nothing to do with it. It's a new world out there, and very interesting.
Yeah, I'll be there for that, man. Tomorrow at 9:30 here in Las Vegas, the Gold Coast Hotel and Casino, man. Okay, the Baloney Blowout tonight. What have you experienced so far here at the CAC? Is this your first CAC event, by the way?
No, I was here last year, and, last year I was more of an observer. This year I'm more involved, and it's just a great time. It's, pretty informal. You get to meet everybody. Everybody's real friendly. And, you know, you're talking to the young guys coming up. You're talking to old guys who I saw so many years ago. I wouldn't even tell you how many years ago. And it's really a treat.
Did you see the $1 million belt? It was over there. I seen it today. I got a real close up look at it.
Yep, it was there. It was there with Ted.
All right, where are you sitting at for the blowout?
That side of I'm on the left side, sitting with Matt Rivera. We've got a table there, and we have some fun.
All right, man. I'll come up to you look for you. I don't have a seat yet. I'll probably go over there with Dead Rich or someone. I don't know where I'm going.
Okay, well, I'll be looking for you, and a great place to be. And
all right, man.
See you tomorrow morning. Thanks a lot.
I'll be there. I'll be there with coffee.
See you in a little bit. I could use some.
All right, man.
See you in a little bit. Bye-bye.
All right, man. That's David Reese here at the Gold Coast Hotel Casino at the Cauliflower Alley Club convention. Still waiting for Jason Dedrich to come on with that special announcement. I'm thinking that this special announcement that he has to do with him bringing back women's wrestling. Because who's out there? I mean, in the limelight. Awesome Kong's out there. Cheerleader Melissa. So many great women's wrestlers. And by the way, I was speaking to Awesome Kong today. We were all in the circle. It was her, Melissa, Jason Dedrich, Howard Brody. And we were all talking about this very thing. So I'm thinking Jason's announcement has to do with women's professional wrestling and him bringing a promotion back. I'm thinking. 888-357-9876, option 1. 888-357-9876, option 1. I'm still giving away this Wrestlers Are Like Seagulls from McMahon to McMahon by J.J. Dillon. Also, Swimming with Piranhas by Howard Brody and the J.J. Dillon Four Horsemen autograph pick. All the books are autographed by their writers. And, of course, as I mentioned, the Horsemen photo is signed as well. We'll take a break, come back with more OWW Radio here on OWW Radio. 888-357-9876, option 1. 888-357-9876, option 1. Radio at online, worldofwrestling.com. This is OWW Radio.
OWW Radio.
All right, where do you go to find downloadable professional wrestling on demand? One site, clickwrestle.com. Whether it's male or female, mixed, you want some free videos, wrestlers, and the catalogs that follow, clickwrestle.com. Featuring wrestling matches involving Claudio Castagnoli, Art Cannon, cheerleader Melissa American Dragon, Daphne Chris Hero, and many more. ClickWrestle.com matches are now only $2.95 to purchase. $2.95. Can't go wrong with $2.95. Just log on to www.clickwrestle.com.
The definitive professional wrestling-based website on the internet today brings you everything from everywhere. The WWE, TNA, Ring of Honor, the Indie Scene. All this and more can be found on one site. If you're obsessed with everything wrestling, head on over to www.onlineworldofwrestling.com. News, views, and information from the world of professional wrestling is right at your fingertips, only a month's click away, with every single page chock full of information and news on your favorite wrestling stars, such as
Chris Jericho,
Derek Bischoff,
Sid Vicious,
Nick Foley.
Plus, the most definitive source for all the best audio and video the internet has to offer. As well, news articles and blogs from some of the best-known internet wrestling developers today. And the most in-depth and detailed profiles and galleries of the biggest and brightest stars of today. Get into the world of wrestling online. It's the site of the pros use. Online World of Wrestling. www.onlineworldofwrestling.com. Check it out today.
Hey everyone, this is the original voice of wrestling, Tim Stein. Catch me talking sense about the WWE, TNA, and the rest on the real voice of professional wrestling talk. Wrestle Talk Radio, Sunday nights, right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
I'm sorry to John, Paul, George, and Ringo for talking over him, man, but wow. It's option one tonight here on OWW Radio. Skype the name Sir Rockin', and you can also be a part of this show. And the best
How
part is...
How overrated are the Beatles?
Okay, we're going to just sidestep that. Because unlike Nick, he actually made it to his destination... But none of the Monday Night Raw cats did, as we kind of hinted when we talked about the Monday Night SmackDown event. The most recent update out of the United Kingdom is the UK airspace will apparently open at 10 p.m. their time, so it probably already opened, but apparently no planes were scheduled to be able to leave Northern Ireland until tomorrow England time. The crew has been scheduled to leave Belfast for Scotland via a ferry, then fly home some point late tomorrow and arrive back in the U.S. late tomorrow night Eastern time, unless there's an issue with Scotland or they delayed them again. My question is, if you knew this was going on and your entire SmackDown roster got out of Madrid, Spain a few days ago, why the heck didn't you just send a nice little telegram to everyone in Ireland, Scotland, and saying, we'd really love to come here, but we got a big pay-per-view. We got a pub on Sunday, folks, so we'll see you in November. Thanks for coming. Here's some John Cena posters and T-shirts, and we're out of here. I mean, Matt Hardy on his Twitter account said that he basically traveled for 52 hours, including bus, train. I think they hopped on some donkeys, some bulls or something. And they may have hopped on the Great Khali to get the heck out of there. But I mean, is this just like, I understand, you know, nature happens. We see it all the time. Aaron living in Arkansas, he's a little bit off of the infamous Tornado Alley. But, I mean, wouldn't WWE have thought of this the moment this volcano exploded of, oh, crap, we need to get every one of our guys out of the country? Maybe I'm not the travel agent that Bob Ryder is. I don't know. I mean, what are you thinking, Aaron? Are you thinking, wow, WWE
here?
I mean, yeah, anyone, Nick, Aaron, Rockin', Scott, Corey, my cat, Sylvester, sitting
in
the
other I guess they just got caught up in the wrong place at the wrong time, you know?
And I did think it was neat that they at least tried to incorporate the Raw guys in with some little vignette videos and stuff.
But
how do
really...
you pub a pay-per-view when half your roster is over there? I mean, some of the guys for the Edge and Christian were there. Christian and Edge and Jericho were there, obviously.
Maybe you can go ask TNA how to do that, because Sean Waltman no-showed his pay-per-view, so.
Yeah, and in fact, I was watching that show and I happened to miss a little bit of the opening due to a 17-month-old needing a bath, and she was a little more important than the beginning of the show. But for fans that weren't aware of it, you know, speaking of travel issues, apparently Sean Waltman was apparently allowed to miss the lockdown pay-per-view event. There's stories going around that he decided not to go because he refused a job for the amount that the company's paying him. Apparently, he worked a Great Lakes Championship Wrestling event in Minnesota the previous night, and after the show, he told several people he wouldn't be a lockdown. He wasn't at the big fan fest they did in St. Louis either. And for fans that didn't watch the show, Kevin Nash did a double duty after beating Eric Young. He replaced Sean Waltman in the match with Team 3D, which we'll talk lockdown in the second hour, but their match happened to be one of the weirdest. Let me get this right. We're having a cage match, but it's going to be a street fight cage match where we don't need the cage. We're going to fight all over the place. Now, apparently during last night's Impact, Taz and Mike Tenay reported that Dixie Carter knew that Sean Waltman wasn't going to be there, and she gave him a hall pass to miss the show. But doesn't this Nick and Aaron and Scott and Corey and anyone that's listening at 888-357-986 option 1, don't be afraid to call us, as you've already seen. We're giving away swag, man. We're giving away books and DVDs and dates with Amy Dumas and, oh, God, sorry, lost my train there. But it's just like, what the heck? How do you, you're a top guy in your company, and for fans that are aware of it, TNA treats lockdown like, it's the second event in their tier. Slammiversary is obviously, to use the term, it's their WrestleMania. But lockdown's a pretty big deal. Obviously, to have a fan fest, and they did a huge icon thing with Flair and Hogan and Sting, and you could buy tickets to. So, I mean, it was a big, huge event. And Sean Waltman just basically was like, I'm losing. Yeah, I'm staying home. Bye.
I see it as Hogan or Bischoff or, you know, one of the guys coming in saying, well, we need this kid, and I think we should give him another shot. Because wasn't there a report that, I know they were talking about it on Genesis, I don't know if it was a rumor or not, but they were saying that Hall and Waltman were taking the run on TNA very seriously.
Hall apparently is.
Well, I saw where it said Waltman and Hall together were taking it very seriously, and now we get that Waltman saying, well, I'm not coming because there is a lack of payment. I don't know. I'm going with the story that Hogan or Bischoff went to Dixie and said, you know what? He's a draw, which I don't think he is, but we need him. That's what I'm going with.
Well, they also brought up, Aaron brought it up, and Scott and Corey brought it up. There's also licensing issues. I mean, Missouri's like Kentucky. You have to have a license to be around. There's certain states that you still actually have to have a license from an athletic commission to be a wrestler. So this may be a situation where Waltman, from his previous indiscretions in the business, might not be licensed in Missouri. I don't know. I know Carl Howard said when we had him on that he had been a part of those kinds of things. So I don't know. Right. I know we've got a caller on, and he's a friend of ours, and he was very polite. He nearly killed me on Wrestle Talk Radio for making fun of one of his man crushes, as Tim Stein likes to say. Welcome, ooh, Spug.
Don't you ever make fun of my husband again?
Hey.
Now,
yes, I know you share him with Steph when he's on the road, so.
You know, somebody's got to keep him company. But, you know, the funny thing is I was watching Raw last night, and I was actually entertained. I could have cared less if the normal Raw guys were there, and I loved the promo that he cut with CM Punk at the beginning of the show.
Oh, God. That was the show saver.
It was. That promo was extremely hilarious, but what happened when the show closed and USA went to whatever they went to was even more entertaining. If you haven't seen the video, there's video on YouTube of what happened between him and The Undertaker, which leads me to believe that Sheamus isn't beating Triple H this Sunday, or if he is, the next big feud with Triple H is going to be Taker.
Wait, I haven't seen it. Clue me in. What happened?
Last night after Raw went off the air,
yeah,
Triple H and Taker were in the ring, and Triple H cut a promo on Taker blaming him for retiring Shawn Michaels, and he said that they were the last of a dying breed. They were the only two left. And
who, him and Triple H or Shawn Michaels?
Triple H and Undertaker.
Oh, please.
Triple H and Undertaker. And he looked at Taker and he said, "We're the last of a dying breed. There's only two of us. There's only two of us left. And there's only room for one of us in this company."
So they're recycling the whole Dave Bautista, Shawn Michaels angle after Ric Flair left.
Yeah.
You know, dude, they recycle everything. It's professional wrestling. You can't tell me one angle that's been original in the last 20 years.
Pretty much. I'm not even going to challenge that. So.
You know what I mean? It's all recycled.
It's nothing new, yeah.
So I'm not gonna say anything against it because, you know, that they kind of botched the Batista Shawn Michaels thing, but with Taker and Triple H having so much chemistry from, you know, the wars with DX in the past and at WrestleMania 17 and all of that, only good things can come of that because I happen to like both of those guys and I happen to think that they can work well together.
Yeah, considering, like I said, they've been in the ring with each other going back to the corporate ministry or ministry, whatever the heck. That gimmick had so many different names. We're the ministry. No, wait. We're the corporate ministry. No, wait. We're the corporate ministry incorporated. I don't know.
Spug is not my real name at all, by the way, Scott.
You're kidding me. Wow.
It's just my
I thought it was idea. Spud.
No.
No. Spug. S-P-U-G. Actually,
Spud is like a potato.
Yes. Actually, Spug was my ring name for a while.
Oh, interesting.
So you're an indie. You're an indie guy.
Yeah. Yeah.
Where have you wrestled, man?
Ohio. And, you know, Alan brought up that some states you need a license in, and I wish they would do that across the country. I honestly do. There are so many untrained, yard-tarred
idiots. Hey now. Yeah, thank you. Keep it clean.
Where were you trained, man? Were you trained by other noticeables?
I was trained by three individuals. I was trained partially by a guy named Jimmy Lee. I was trained by another guy named Brian. And then I was trained by a local guy named Tommy Banks.
Let's see. All right, dude.
So I had three individuals.
Cool. We were talking about it on the show the other night about where things on Wrestle Talk Radio about where things go after lockdown, and how could we have predicted on the show the other night that Rob Van Dam, we'd be sitting here 2 days later and Rob Van Dam's the world champ, Slug?
You know, dude, honestly, we said it on Wrestle Talk Radio. I still don't understand TNA's booking. I don't. I fell asleep watching Impact, the replay of Impact last night on Spike. And I don't get it. I don't understand how you can take a guy who has been as loyal to you as loyal can be, didn't go to WWE when he had the chance and a big payday, stayed with you the whole way, has been with you since day one, and you turn around and you wipe your rear end with him.
Pretty much.
You know, I don't understand.
Well, we thank you for being a part of this event, as always. I mean, you're a welcome caller, as always, and I appreciate that I wasn't put into a mega car wreck like I anticipated on the show. Because Tim's like, yeah, you're going to intro everybody. I'm like, oh, God, no. This is the mega, mega setup for everybody from Omega to you to Mace to just, like, get the sledgehammer out and just kill me.
No.
And fortunately you guys didn't, so I'm appreciative that you're able to be able to join us here. And we're gonna go ahead and end this first hour. Nick is stepped away to try to get in touch with Jason Dedrich, and we thank Spog for being a part of this event. And
real quick,
go ahead, dude.
I'm gonna take a shot at some trivia for a book or something. I need something new to read.
Oh, well, Nick's the one that's running that, so you're going to have to come back in the next hour to do that stuff. I
can do that. Yeah.
He's got stuff in Vegas, so.
I just put down a book that was, it was kind of like one of those DOS for Dummies things.
Oh, God.
But it was a revised pro wrestling for dummies.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah, it was actually pretty cool. There's a lot of good stuff in that. And I picked up over the weekend the complete encyclopedia of professional wrestling from Borders, which is actually pretty nifty.
Excellent. All right.
Yeah,
well, definitely
call back.
Yeah, call back and win some free swag. 888-357-9876, option 1. In the second hour, we will be talking Cauliflower Alley Club because Nick is there. We'll talk Extreme Rules pay-per-view. We're going to go ahead and also talk the wacky world of Jim Cornette and Vince Russo and what the heck it even has to do with professional wrestling. 888-357-9876, option 1. You can Skype us with Sir Rockin'. Aaron and I are going to step away, take a soda break, and we'll be back. Hopefully Nick will join us, and so will you on OWW Radio.
OWW Radio.
All right, Online World of Wrestling is proud to present its official forum, OWW Genesis, the gold standard of wrestling forums. OWW Genesis hosts over 50 active forums, which include news, results, the WWE section, TNA, ROH, independent and international discussion, women's wrestling, 8 video forums, OWW forum games, MMA, wrestling video games, and wrestling interests. You want more? Okay, Genesis also has forums dedicated to wrestling promotions of the past, ECW, WCW, and the golden age of professional wrestling. More? Okay, Genesis has more to offer its community with a variety of special features such as OWW Undisputed, Debate League, Bloodfest, All Time Pose, What If, Fair or foul, even a e-fed called takedown. More? Okay. OWW Genesis is also proud to be the official community forum for chick fights and OWW Radio. More? Okay. You'll find me there, Nick Anthony, and all the producers and many others right there at online World of Wrestling's official forum, OWW Genesis. It's the gold standard of wrestling forums. It's a gold standard! Okay, that one hurt it. That one hurt it.
Thursday night, Wild Talk Radio Network becomes a place where anything goes. Prepare to be sinful. Thursdays, 10:30 p.m. Eastern. On the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Hey guys, this is Scott Hudson. I've been in WCW, WWE, and TNA, but no time is like the time I spend on Wild Talk Radio.
Interesting that since Aaron's taking over the music on this show, I feel like I'm in a Scorsese movie. Every time I turn around, he's rocking the music on here. 888-357-9876, option one.
They're OWW overrated, Radio. Too.
That's Nick Anthony, who's in Las Vegas, baby, for the Cauliflower Alley Club reunion. Aaron Kendrick.
I'm surprised
here.
We haven't heard any Elvis yet. Me being in Vegas.
I'm sure it's on the list. We just haven't gotten to it yet. And
actually, I think it's on the list.
Oh, there we go.
you have to keep listening.
Yeah, I'm telling you, the kid's got the skills going here. And unfortunately, since Nick paid to go to Vegas, we're actually going to let him go experience.
Yeah, I
got to
go. Yeah, I do. The baloney blowout started like 4 minutes ago. And I'm like down the street from the strip, so I have to hit the traffic now. Well, it's 7 o'clock, so I don't know if there's traffic or not. But so I'm gonna split. We still got these books. 888-357-9876. I'm out of here. JR, I'm gonna try to get a hold of him and see if I can ask him that question about Dixie Carter. Anybody else you guys want me to get in contact with?
See if you can find Bret Hart.
See if you can find Hart. Some of our money
Bret's
that we lost there.
Bret's not here.
Well. He's trapped in Germany somewhere, I heard.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, he's over there with the rest of them. And in case you're just joining us, some of us are sitting here watching NXT, and it's not wrestling right now. It's American Gladiators, folks. They're doing the pillows on the end of the pole, and they're beating each other. And David Otunga just got beat by Heath Slater. I mean, is this is so ridiculous to the point of, we talked about NXT last week, Aaron, and this is just getting ridiculous now.
Yeah, it is.
Is there a swimsuit competition coming and I'm missing it? Or, I mean, are they gonna be brought up and asked if you could say, talk about your favorite date, what would it be? Your ideal date? I'd have to say April 23rd. I mean, is that what this is coming to, guys?
Well, I mean, if they do have the swimsuit competition for the guys that I'm not gonna be watching, I mean, I'm not
well,
even watching.
They're already in tights right now. It doesn't really matter. And, Nick's
I'm not
going,
watching it right now.
Well, I happen to be the dumb bud who's doing it. I'm the one that's watching it. Sir Rockin has come up with an interesting trivia question. What two men are made up of the tag team named the Dancing Fool? I don't even know the answer to that one, so hopefully if you know it, If you know it, 888-357-9876, option 1. You cannot be a member of the OWW radio roster. You can't be a part of any of the Wild Talk radio programs. You have to be a general guest to call in and get this on. But yeah, 888-357-9876, option 1, where you can Skype Sir Rockin', and he'll get you hooked up with this too. We teased it at the beginning of the show. Like, we talked about Rob Van Dam being the new world champ, and we talked about quite possibly the dumbest pay-per-view ending in wrestling history. But we also had two championships change hands at Lockdown, and the champ wasn't even involved in it, Aaron. You had the knockout championship go to our beautiful people, Madison Rayne, became the Knockouts champ after she, I got a pinfall over Tara and Angelina Love. So the beautiful people now hold the tag titles. The beautiful people holds the heavyweight, the ladies title. And not only did that happen, but Doug Williams wasn't the only one who was trapped overseas. He got trapped. So instead of, not talk about it, they put it right on TV and said, yeah, he's not here. No, by the way, we're stripping him. And we're going to make it a three-way. We're going to make the winner of the escape match, which was the Motor City Machine Guns, Brian Kendrick, who, stop me if he doesn't look like Drew McIntyre now, and the Notorious 187 Homicide. Homicide wins it. Later on that night, he gets involved in what's now a three-way match with Kazarian and Shannon Moore. And Kazarian wins the title. But they couldn't give him a title belt, Aaron, because the belt's overseas in Europe. I mean, what are your thoughts on this, Aaron? As a wrestling fan, it's almost like, forget the title belt. You don't have to pin anybody anymore to win a belt. You get it out of a briefcase. And you know what? The champ doesn't even... I understand in a triple threat match, that's the setup. The champ.
Yeah, but when the champion is not even in the match, it don't make sense.
A country, for that matter. I mean, good God.
Yeah. I mean, the guy couldn't help that there's a volcano going off. So I don't see why they punish him by taking his belt off of him.
I mean, this wasn't, a couple of years ago when Roderick Strong and Austin Aries and Alex Shelley were all working for Ring of Honor, and they got some of the guys got snowed in the Northeast, and TNA yelled at them for taking the booking date in Ring of Honor. This isn't like they were in New Jersey and the pay-per-view is in Florida. This is a guy who's across the entire big ass body of water, folks.
Yeah,
I don't understand.
And they're going to back up Sean Waltman on this, and they're just going to make up some little excuse for him to be able to miss the show.
They're going to say he was in Europe, probably, for all we know. If you didn't miss, if you also missed it, in case you didn't miss it, you also had Kevin Nash doing double duty, as we mentioned. He beat Eric Young, and then later on he was involved in... How the heck do you have this, Aaron? A cage match that turns into a street... It almost made it seem like the cage had nothing to do with anything in this match, because you had the escape match, which is a staple of TNA pay-per-views. Then you had the key... Anderson's got the key... against Angle, which I mentioned it on WrestleTalk Radio. That match, in my mind, Aaron, I don't know about yours, but that saved this pay-per-view from being one of the worst in history. And if you didn't see it, folks, get a copy of this pay-per-view just for that. Just for that match. Because Kurt Angle nearly killed himself. Literally.
Yeah. He hit a moonsault. He's done it before.
Yeah, he hit a moonsault off the top of the cage that I'm not even sure he actually made contact with Anderson's body. I think he landed somewhere in the vicinity, and everybody just went, ooh. And here's the other thing I don't understand. We brought it up on the show, and I brought it up in conversations with friends, Aaron. Everyone, we talked about it last week, that Kurt was taking time away. He's like, I'm opening a restaurant in Pittsburgh, and I got my food thing, and I got a movie thing. If you're going away, and Spog could answer this, Mace could answer this, anybody that's a wrestler could answer this, isn't it sort of the guy who's leaving should have got his butt whooped and lost the match and disappeared? and then in a few weeks came back, instead of coming on camera, Aaron, and honestly saying, all right, guys, I'm taking time off. I'm not hurt, but I got business endeavors outside of wrestling. Your thoughts on this, please. Don't be afraid.
Well, actually, I think it makes total sense because they've had Anderson get over on Angle for the past, I don't know, 2-3 months now. And it just, to me, it makes complete sense for Angle to be able to beat Anderson, have the hero come over a bad guy, and then have the hero say, you know what, I've beaten Anderson finally, so I'm going to take a few months off so I can get back in my right frame of mind. And it all makes sense, obviously, because Angle was, he works himself to death, and he can't walk from here to there without getting injured. So, I mean,
or bleeding.
I think it's, yeah.
Or
it's
bleeding.
Well, it's well-deserved time off, I think.
Yeah, 888-357-996, option one. You can win a book. Call us in, man. If you know who the tag team was that was known as the Dancing Fool, what two men came up with that tag team name, you can win some free swag from us here at OWW Radio. I talked about this on the forums. I talked about this in my blog. I talked about it on the radio the other night. Probably possibly the dumbest ending to a pay-per-view ever, as we teased it here. And it just, and especially watching last night, why didn't you save this match of Rob Van Dam versus versus AJ Styles? Why didn't they save this for Sacrifice? Build for a couple of weeks, and then next thing you know, Rob wins the belt on a pay-per-view, and everybody makes some money instead of a 1.0 rating, Aaron. And I don't, you're not old enough to remember, probably. Well, you are old enough, but you're not old enough to remember Bill Goldberg winning the world title.
Oh.
We brought this up a few times on the show for fans that are aware of it. How
I remember.
many people call that night that Goldberg won the world title from Hollywood Hulk Hogan as the beginning of the death of WCW, because you had a house of 43,000 people in the Georgia Dome that probably would have had double or triple the ticket price, and then people paying $20, $30 on pay-per-view to watch this. I mean, obviously, we talked about it with Nick. This is like a hot-shotting thing to get ratings, and obviously a bomb.
Yeah, and it's just TNA. They're trying really hard to get their ratings. But pulling stuff like this is just not for regular TV. They do need to put it on a pay-per-view. And it's funny because I was sitting there watching the match last night, and the first thing I thought of was Goldberg and Hogan. And, you know, it's just every week I see a new sign of TNA becoming another WCW. And whenever I first started watching TNA, I kind of thought that they were pretty similar to WCW, but now it's getting scary, and I don't know why they're not trying to do something about it.
Well, speaking of scary, maybe Russo's got his mind on other things, like a death threat letter that was sent by Jim Cornette to Terry Taylor, folks. If go to OWW Genesis, onlineworldofwrestling.com, go to any website you can find this on. I'm not going to read every single word of this thing, because we'll be here till the next OWW radio show. But to paraphrase what went on, Aaron, and Scott and Corey were talking about this off the air, and it was kind of mentioned on other newsletters and forums, but the OW Genesis people talked it up a whole lot, that basically Cornette sent a letter to Terry Taylor. It almost sounded like a letter you would send if you were going to commit suicide. That he basically said, he has said it before. He said it on the KFIV Commentaries You Shoot, that he's hoping to live to be, that Vince Russo lives to be 94 and he could live to be 95. So when Russo dies, he can stand on Russo's grave and pee on him. Well, apparently he's like having homicidal, suicidal thoughts. And I'm not talking Sabu, ladies and gentlemen, everybody to point to the sky. I'm talking about a grown man who apparently wants to kill Vince Russo, or at least is claiming he wants to kill Vince Russo. And TNA lawyers basically sent a letter to Cornette and to other people saying, you need to shut up, because Russo apparently lives in Colorado and is inclined to, supposedly going to be moving to the Nashville area where the TNA offices are based out of, to be closer to the writing, and so he could be a part of pre-production, post-production, because a lot of the in-house stuff for Explosion and whatnot, the vignettes are filmed in Nashville. What are you thinking, Aaron? Are you thinking, the Louisville Slugger Jim Cornette has finally gone off the deep end, or is this somehow, some way, a storyline waiting to happen?
Well, if you think he's just now going off the deep end, then I don't think you've ever seen the incident at the Dairy Queen.
I've heard about it. That's one of those I want to watch it, but I don't. Is that on a YouTube thing, or is that on Cornette's site?
I do think it's on YouTube. I'll try and find it for you. But fans,
if you can get in on this, get in on it, man.
But, man, I'm telling you, I mean, it's well documented.
Talk about the Dairy Queen thing for fans that haven't seen it, because I haven't, unfortunately. If you've seen it, talk it up, dude.
Well, all right. It's been a while since I've watched it, but I read Jericho's book. Jericho was actually the guy holding the camera, if you can imagine that.
Oh, gosh.
A few people from the Smoky Mountain promotion were carpooling, and they decided to go into the Dairy Queen. And whenever they got to the Dairy Queen, like, you know, it's a car full of wrestlers, so they're going to eat a lot. And every one of the wrestlers wanted their burgers made separately. Like, you know, one of them wanted extra cheese, one of them wanted onions, one of them wanted pickles, one of them didn't want lettuce. And they all wanted, like four burgers a piece, and they ended up ordering like something like 21 burgers.
Oh my God.
And so the woman at the window in the drive-thru thought it was a prank. So by the time they pulled around to get the food, the woman got to tell Jim Cornette that she thought it was a prank and she didn't make the food.
Oh God. Now I definitely need to go to YouTube. Join me there, fans. Go to YouTube now. Go ahead. You're telling a great story.
Well, this, due to the fact that this is a PG show, and
yes,
I'm 15.
We are rated PG by the Motion Picture Association of America and Radio of America. So,
yeah. So I'm gonna cut off the story right there.
It got colorful, needless to say. But either way, I mean, this is just a. I know it's one of those things, you know, you're not supposed to say, I'm going to kill the guy sitting in Washington, or you don't scream fire in a movie theater, but you know, in this day and age of Ben Roethlisberger getting issues because he was at a bar, I know Michael Phelps getting photoed with a bong in his hand, and Tiger Woods, and the 24-hour news cycle, granted, it's wrestling, but either way, you've got to just sit back and go, are you really that stupid? Did you really think, Jim, this wasn't going to make it to the wrestling fans and to the wrestling media? I don't understand it. If fans want to get in on this, this is a hot topic in the business right now. Because it was talked about at lockdown. It was talked, I'm sure, at Ring of Honor events. 888-357-9876, option 1. If you want to win a free book, you want to talk wrestling with us, this is OWW Radio. We are live. Nick Anthony was here. He's unfortunately now going to the Cauliflower Alley Club Baloney Blowout, I believe it was called, and who knows what will happen there. He's going to try to get us some guests for future shows with us. We have got a caller in. I believe the caller's name is Mike. Welcome to OWW Radio, Mike.
Hey, yo, what's up, guys?
Hey, how are you? What can I do for you tonight, sir?
Well, I heard the talk. Before I stepped out, you guys were talking about the whole TNA pay-per-view, which really got me upset.
In what way did it get you upset?
Well, because you have Team... The ending. There we go. The ending. Team Hair Loss versus Team Flops a Lot. It really kind of made me mad because the way that it ended, it was just like I was watching a classic Survivor Series match.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, the pay-per-view, not only did it make me angry, but, like, the women's division, I just don't want to... I don't know. Like, Madison Rain. Seriously, her as the women's champion? I mean, not women's champion, knockouts champion.
Same thing. We're not real particular to title names on this show or anyway, so feel free to call it the girls' title, the non-significant to the roster title, and we've come up with other variations on here, Mike.
Yeah. Well, it's just that you know, I see possible storylines that's going to happen. Like, I think the Beautiful People are going to break up, and then you're going to have, like, a four-way dance or something for the title. But I don't know. It's just that I hope to see what they're going to do next week. I mean, RVD winning the world championship was actually pretty good, but it was also pretty bad at the same time.
Mm. Well, we had talked about that. It's a tough situation because you're trying to get ratings. I understand it from a writer's standpoint because I've covered wrestling for 10 years on doing this show and also covering TNA events in person. You're trying to get ratings. I got that. But unless you were actually watching the show or someone called you up and said, dude, RVD and Jeff Hardy are fighting for it, and then AJ's going to do this, you had no idea what was going on. I understand that part, but there's also hundreds of thousands of dollars that could have been lost here. And so you're happy with RVD as your world champ right now in TNA wrestling?
Well, all right. I'm not saying that I am happy, and I'm not saying that I am upset. Because basically what they're doing is like WCW all over again. Like you said, ratings.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And therefore you have a top-notch superstar that has only been there for, dare I say, a few weeks, and then here he comes winning the world champion, and what does he do to celebrate? He celebrates 420 and has a smoke with Jeff Hardy. Maybe. But all I'm saying is, will that be the best they can do and have RVD as world champion? Let alone if he has him as world champion, then you're going to see Jeff Hardy as X Division champion, and then the rest is just going to fall down.
Well, Jeff Hardy getting the championships pending a nice little court stay in North Carolina if he survives that. I mean, that's the interesting thing to go along there. Do you want to get a shot at some merchandise here, my friend?
Sure. Well, let's go.
All right. Your trivia question is, what two men made up a tag team called the Dancing Fools?
The Dancing Fools?
The Dancing Fools. We'll give you a couple seconds here. I don't know if Rockin' can play some, like, Jeopardy music here or... It was an interesting duo of wrestlers that when I thought I knew one of them, and then Rocket, our producer for the night, our tech producer for the night, gave me the answer, and my jaw just hit the floor going, oh, wow, man, I forgot about those guys.
Wait, hold on.
We can say that the name really fits them.
Well, absolutely.
Okay. The Dancing Fools. Were they also named something else?
No. Not that I can think of. Rockin', I don't think they used another name together, because the tag team was around for a while, but it wasn't like a decade-long tag team.
Was one of the people Disco Inferno?
I'll say yes to that. One of them was Disco, but can you give me the other person?
Alex Wright?
Oh my god, he's got it, folks! All right, Mike has got the prize. So Rockin' will take your info, my friend, so we can we'll forward it along. I believe Scott and Corey, our producers, also handle this. So if you want to type in your mail address to us here, since you're on the Skype setup with us, they were also called the Boogie Knights, and I thought they were called, the Job Guys. But hey, that's a totally different situation. All right. Thank you for calling in. We appreciate it, Mike. And hopefully you'll enjoy some items. Thanks for calling in OWW Radio.
Thanks a lot, guys.
All right. At this time, we are going to take a break. And when we come back, we're going to talk some Extreme Rules, which is going to be, if you thought Lockdown was the bloodiest pay-per-view in the world, folks, you ain't seen nothing yet. We'll talk Extreme Rule. Oh, I'm teasing it, bro. I'm doing the I'm doing the wrestling radio thing. Since we are the longest running episodic wrestling radio show in history, we like to do formatted stuff, which is awesome, and I'm appreciative of the format setup. We'll get Mike's information. He was awesome. You can do just like Mike did. 888-357-9876, option 1. Sorokin is available through the Skype setup. This is OWW Radio. I'm Alan Wojcik with Aaron Kendrick. We'll be back.
OWW Radio.
All right, where do you go to find downloadable professional wrestling on demand? One site, clickwrestle.com. Whether it's male or female, mixed, you want some free videos, wrestlers, and the catalogs that follow, clickwrestle.com. Featuring wrestling matches involving Claudio Castagnoli, Art Cannon, cheerleader Melissa American Dragon, Daphne Chris Hero, and many more. ClickWrestle.com matches are now only $2.95 to purchase. $2.95. You can't go wrong with $2.95. Just log on to www.clickwrestle.com.
As the NHL regular season has come to an end, the Calgary Flames are heading home. They suck. Which now means Wednesday nights are free to be geeky. Join myself, Omega, and that guy that we'll eventually put into the intro, Mace, every Wednesday night as we bring you Geek Talk done right, Wednesday nights at 9 p.m. Eastern, right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Hey everyone, this is Sorokin, the host of CB Radio, which you can catch every Saturday night.
Whoa, wait, Rock?
Yes, Cindy?
Did you just call yourself the host of CB Radio?
I kinda did just call me the host of CB Radio.
Honey, everyone knows that you are just the producer.
Hey, I'm not just the producer, I am the host of this
show. Oh my god, shut up! Everyone knows that I am the host of CB Radio, which you can check out Saturday nights, midnight-ish, right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. Now, Rock.
Yes, darling.
This is where you tell everyone, I'll see you Saturday.
I'll see you Saturday.
Good boy.
Well, I won't back down. No, I won't back down. You can stand me up at the gates of hell, but I won't back down. Gonna stand my ground.
888-357-9876, option one. Like I said, I don't know how a 15-year-old kid is bringing on these acts. I mean, you just brought the late and great Johnny Cash on OWW Radio, Aaron Kendrick. I mean, did you, like, swallow a Rock and Roll Hall of Fame dictionary recently? Oh, crap, he's gone already? He got dropped. Oh, Scott, our producer's like, that was mine, but I'll let him take credit for that one. 888-357-9876, option one here on OWW Radio. I'm Alan Wojcik. We've been talking a whole lot of fun stuff. The Cauliflower Alley Club's going on. Nick Anthony's at the Baloney Blowout. As I teased, we talked about it, and we're going to bring one of our callers in. He's a part of Wrestle Talk Radio. The one and only Mace is joining us to talk about this event, because we talked about it on Wrestle Talk Radio how that pay-per-view, Mace, had to be one of the bloodiest events in wrestling. And now we're going to transition to an Extreme Rules pay-per-view that quite possibly isn't going to have one drop of blood spilled.
Yeah, I know. It's like an extreme shift in, I suppose you call it balance, really. Here we had Lockdown, which wasn't even sort of promoted as a bloody pay-per-view. Every single guy got busted open, whether it was on purpose or the hard way.
Yeah, then I think Dave Penzer got busted open being a ring announcer, for all we know.
Yeah, I know. I know afterwards on WTR, I could have joined TNA. My ears were bleeding.
Yeah, I'm sure. I mean, we talked about it on the air as I said to you guys after the show, I was very appreciative that I was able to be a part of that event, because it was just one of those, I so wanted to just, you know, I wanted to be a part of the escape match. I wanted to climb out of my house and never look at my freaking laptop again. It was just a horrible event. And the funny part about this show is, and we teased it a few minutes ago, as of right now, unless they're filming stuff tonight for Friday Night SmackDown, there's only 5 matches announced for this Extreme Rules pay-per-view. And I don't think anything was announced during the MacGruber Fest last night other than they blew up Ron Killings for no reason whatsoever and proved one, and of course put over that half the WWE roster is involved in this film. Obviously, that's the reason. Is Aaron back? Are you there, sir?
Yeah, I'm here.
He's back. All right, Aaron. Mace is here joining us to talk Extreme Rules fans. And we talked about this last week on the show in the past couple weeks about WWE basically going PG in the fact that I believe it was Jack Swagger a couple weeks ago that it had what basically looked like the equivalent of a paper cut in his head and they stopped the match. But running this car down, gentlemen, we've got a last man standing match with John Cena and Batista. We've got an Extreme Rules match with champion Jack Swagger and Randy Orton. A street fight with Sheamus and Triple H. And if that wasn't enough, you've got Edge and Chris Jericho in a steel cage match. And there may be some bleeding if CM Punk gets his haircut and the Sinister Minister Jim Mitchell and his dreaded clippers that nearly scalped Raymond's brains out in TNA against Rey Mysterio. Is this a pay-per-view, Mace? Did you're sitting there going, yeah, I'm totally... For fans that aren't aware of it, Mace does not live in the United States. Mace lives on the other side of the world. I mean, are you sitting there in your home country going, yeah, I'm gassed for this pay-per-view? Or are you sitting there going, honey, I now have free time?
Believe me, it's definitely the free time option. Like, I don't even pay for the pay-per-views here. Another family member does. And at this point in time, I'm like, I'm really tempted to say, just don't bother ordering it. I'll find other ways to watch it.
I mean, you guys talked about it. You did way more talking about it than we honestly want to do. You guys broke it down match by match and did picks. Aaron and I have been watching them thanks to Tim Stein, our other uber goober super cool producer. He gives us the hookup so we can watch this show. And we were talking about during Elimination Chamber, it was just like, okay, so Elimination Chamber, we're allowed to bleed because we're in a big cage thing here. But we talked about it last week, Aaron, and the question still comes up. And if anybody else wants to join us, 888-357-9876, option 1, or you can Skype Sir Rockin'. How do you hold this kind of pay-per-view, Aaron, when, as we talked about it last week, there's no blood allowed in this company, and even if you bleed the hard way, it's almost like you're wrestling, and I mean, for fans that are aware of it, you know, Spug brought up state commissions and whatnot. If this pay-per-view was being held, it's being held in Baltimore. For fans that don't remember it, Great American Bash 88, I may be wrong on that. It's on a couple DVDs so you can find them. The total package, Lex Luger wrestled then NWA World Heavyweight Champion Ric Flair, and during the match, the total package got busted open and was on the verge of winning the championship when an athletic commissioner guy grabbed Tommy Young, the referee, and stopped the match. So, Aaron, how do you feel about this? Are you sitting there going, yeah, I want to put down my money on a pay-per-view that I know nobody's going to bleed, but you're doing ECW-style matches?
Well, it just, like I said last week, you can always just bring up the Hogpen match. Because, you know, you just can't have an Extreme Rules match without having blood. That's my opinion. And
I mean, I just don't understand it. And I know I was really hoping to have brought this up when Nick was on the air, but I don't get it. I know there's 20 writers on this staff, including some that once actually walked up, I swear on a stack of Bibles, walked up to John Bradshaw Layfield and asked him, how do you put the fake blood into your head so when you bleed, you bleed? And it's just that there's no logic here. It's almost like the Russo Ferrara and the third guy who's working with him sent a bucket of Kool-Aid up to the Stamford, Connecticut office and said, hey, we're having some fun drinking this. We have no logic on our show. Why don't you have no logic, too? And for fans that aren't aware of it, if you don't listen to Wrestle Talk Radio, Mace is a wrestler in his home country. I believe, is it Australia or New Zealand? I'm sorry if I'm messing it up.
Australia.
Okay, I mean,
confused with those Jeep Jaggers.
Okay, but as a wrestler, and obviously we can break kayfabe to a degree here. As a wrestler, the obvious goal is to get in and out of a match safe. You're not sitting there going, dude, I really want to bleed tonight. How do you feel about this as a wrestler that you're being told, on one hand, we're PG rated. You can't get cut open. If you get cut open, we're going to send a guy, the ref's going to throw gloves on, and then you're going to have to do all this kind of crazy stuff. And how do you feel about this?
Well, this is the thing. They're saying go out there and give the crowd what they want, but at the same time, here's some handcuffs. We're going to put your hands behind your back. You know, events like this, you're going to have to bleed at some point to get the match over. You know, it used to be the whole thing of, okay, they can do it on Raw and get away with it on Raw and SmackDown because you can always delay that, but you're on live pay-per-view, so whatever happens, happens. But if they're going to go out of their way and say, look, you are not allowed to bleed at all tonight, there's got to be somebody who's going to stand up and go, well, where's the logic? And you got to think, they've also restricted chair shots to the head. If they've restricted the chair shots, I can almost guarantee they're not going to allow anybody to do anything to anybody's head at this point in time. So there's another bit of the handcuffs behind the back. Basically, yeah. The way that this thing's going, I just grabbed a copy of Kaiju Big Battle. I'll be watching that instead of Extreme Rules.
I mean, this is the other thing that we've brought up on previous OWW radio shows, and you can look us up on Click Wrestle to hear the podcasts of these previous shows. I believe it was the night that Shawn Michaels did his farewell, Triple H did a really heartfelt speech, and then Sheamus came out behind him and bashed him with a pole. And then next thing you know, Triple H is pulling out the hammer, and I mean, you're teasing all these weapons, but in the same sense, it's just really weird that it's like you're telling everybody, you know, there's these great naughty movies on Cinemax, but instead we're going to have you watch reruns of Little House on the Prairie. It's just really weird. And if you think we're wrong, fans, don't just sit there and go, well, I can teach these guys a thing or two. I know everything about wrestling. Shut me up. 888-357-9876, option 1. Skypes are rocking. Join us on here. We want to talk with you. We appreciate Mace being here. He didn't have to call in to us, but he's a welcome guest on our show. And, I mean, I don't get it. You guys call in when Nick's here, but you don't call in when Aaron and I are here. I don't get it. And this is a topic that should be driving fans absolutely bonkers. That you had last night, Rob Van Dam going to the ring. Even before he got in the ring, he was bleeding from the forehead, Sandman style. I kept waiting to see him come out with a beer and a kendo stick and a bong, going, yeah, dude, I'm going to wrestle for the title.
That's next week, Alan.
Oh, I'm sorry. That may be being what's taped tonight for fans. I know we're not supposed to talk about what happened, but, I mean, unfortunately, and that's the situation, is that it's just a little weird to have something like that going on. Oh, that's right. You are doing a special 420 show tonight, Rockin'. That's really awesome. So the straight edge people like myself aren't going to tune in. And did you happen to watch any of the MacGruber Fest last night, Mace?
Yeah, I did. Like you said, I'm down here in Australia. We've got on completely different time frames down here. Raw is actually on a Wednesday afternoon. It'll probably start just as the 420 show ends. And we actually get Impact on a Saturday night. So I jump on and use some fiddly little internets to catch Raw and Impact as they happen. And, yeah, I caught the MacGruber Fest. And, man, I'm going to try and do this without swearing, but that was complete and utter bull beep. Self-censorship. Woo. I just couldn't believe it, man. Every MacGruber segment was absolutely stupid. You know, I know Carly is meant to be this big, fun-loving guy, but that was probably one step too far. And as for blowing up Ron the Truth Killings, yeah, I giggled at it, but at the same time, it was absolutely moronic. The entire show, and I'll just finish this off.
Yeah, go ahead.
Everybody has given Raw a free pass this week because, oh, their guys are stuck in the UK. They knew about this from the 16th. Of April. Okay, they've known about it for 4 days prior to the show. It didn't occur to anybody on the writing staff to sit there and go, you know what, there's a possibility that these guys might not make it out of the UK, so instead of sitting there and going crazy at the 11th hour trying to book a show, why don't we sit there and try and book something with the talent that we know we've got? Because they knew the SmackDown guys were getting out. but they didn't know if the Raw guys were getting out. They had time to plan something, even if it was, you know, something done in 4 days. Okay, it's not going to be a massive, big quality show, but at the same time, it would have been a lot better than something they booked on the fly.
Alright, I just want to bring this up because, as we mentioned, you are a trained wrestler. I brought this up when Spug was here, too. If you're sitting there watching, and like I said, the thing that annoyed me as someone that's been covering wrestling for years and haven't been like as close to your laptop as I am to a ring while filming matches, the Jack Swagger Undertaker situation that we talked about, where they're basically working out the match in the ring while the camera's on them. Is that their fault? Is that the director for WWE's fault that they were openly talking on the camera about their next spots? And how does that make you feel as a wrestler?
Well, I personally don't think it should have ever happened. Yes, there is a certain amount of the match that is going to get talked in the ring that they're going to do on the fly. It happens all the time. You can catch these guys talking out their stuff so easily if you know what to look for. But especially for a guy like Undertaker, who has been in the business for so many years, he shouldn't have to sit there and go, oh crap, what are we going to do now? He should have something, a stock standard match that he can pull out with any guy on the roster. As for Jack Swagger, well, you know, he's still, as you know, he's been around a while, but I still think he's still building to what he can be.
But let me cut you off right there.
Yep.
He's still trying to build what he's trying to be, but he's the world champion.
Yeah, well, my own theory on that has been that he's just a placeholder to get it on Edge without destroying Jericho's credit, but that's just me.
Well, as someone who's been in the ring, isn't it normally that the heel carrot calls the match, unless it's someone like a guy who, like Taker is, who's been in the business as long as he has? I mean, maybe I'm wrong, but that's always been what I've heard, and I'm sorry, fans, that we're breaking the kayfabe wall down here, but this is something that really irked me as someone who likes to protect the business, that someone of the, as you mentioned, me, someone of the stature of Undertaker, not realizing I'm a good 6-8 inches away from Swagger's ear, and these HD cameras pick up everything, as Nick had mentioned when he was on. How do you do that?
Yeah, well, you pretty much hit the nail on the head there, but what they try and teach you, and again, you know, we're breaking down the kayfabe wall here, they try and teach you not only are your cues verbal, like when you actually are able to talk to you guys, there are some things you can do to make simple moves, arm drags, hip toss. There are visual cues you can give to somebody, feed somebody a body part, and you work with it. Again, I don't know if I could really blame it on Undertaker or Swagger, but they should have really pushed something there. You know, even if they spent 30 seconds backstage going, okay, we're going to do stock standard this, 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 and this, and then just go out there and do it. They needed something to actually plan. And I'm putting this on the writers for not turning around and going, okay, let's have a backup plan in case things go south.
Wonderful, interesting points. If you like what he's saying, folks, he's a part of an awesome show called Wrestle Talk Radio that airs on this very network Sunday night. I believe you guys are on at 11 this week because of the pay-per-view that we're talking about, Extreme Rules. And unlike us, we're kind of like, yeah, draft, whatever. You guys are actually going to do a mock draft. As we go to break, go ahead and put over this event on Sunday night.
Yes, so it is at 11 p.m. straight after the Extreme Rules pay-per-view. We are doing a mock draft this week with Omega and Spug drafting for Raw, and William McConnell and myself will be drafting for SmackDown. We've got all the rules sorted in place. We are going to sort of run it down as we do it. And yeah, just tune in to see what we think would help both brands.
All right, we thank Mace for his time, and at this point we're going to go ahead and take our final break of the evening. 888-357-9876 option 1. After this, we are going to have the man, the myth, the slam dancing legend, Aaron Kendrick, in Match of the Week. OWW Radio, I'll be right back.
OWW Radio.
The definitive professional wrestling-based website on the internet today brings you everything from everywhere. The WWE, TNA, Ring of Honor, the Indie Scene, all this and more can be found on one site. If you're obsessed with everything wrestling, head on over to www.onlineworldwrestling.com. News, news, and information from the world of professional wrestling is right at your fingertips, only a mouse click away, with every single page chock full of information and news on your favorite wrestling stars, such as
Chris Jericho,
Eric Bischoff,
Sid Vicious,
Mick Foley,
plus the most definitive source for all the best audio and video the internet has to offer. As well, news articles and blogs from some of the best-known internet wrestling developers today, and the most in-depth and detailed profiles and galleries of the biggest and brightest stars of today. Get into the world of wrestling online. It's the site of the pros use, Online World of Wrestling, www.onlineworldofwrestling.com. Check it out today.
Do you have a certain passion? Maybe you're a geek, a wrestling fan, a sex enthusiast, or you just need something to do for the evening. Then come check out the Wild Talk Radio Network, providing you with the latest in online entertainment. Whether it's getting in the ring with Wrestle Talk Radio, or getting a little R-rated with CB Radio or Anything Goes, or whether you just want to play a game of Dungeons & Dragons with the geeks over to Talk We Talk Live, all you gotta do is head on over to www.wildtalkradio.com and check out all of our daily programming. Wild Talk Radio Network. Come and get wild with us.
What up, Matt?
Ooh, yeah, this is somebody doing a really bad impression of Macho Man Randy Savage telling you to snap in to Wrestle Talk Radio right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. Ooh, yeah, dig it!
Bright light city, gonna set my soul on fire. Got a whole lot of money that's ready to burn, so get those stakes up higher. There's a thousand pretty women waiting out there. They're all living, the devil may care. And I'm just a devil with love to spare. So Viva Las Vegas!
Uh-huh, that's right. We got the Elvis going. Nick can probably yell at Nick. Nick can probably somewhere screaming, and he's overrated too. All right.
Actually, Nick is the one who suggested that.
Oh, okay. So he can keep his man card for bashing the Beatles and bashing the Rolling Stones. This is OWW Radio. I'm Alan Wojcik. That's Aaron Kendrick. And we're going to go into the most popular segment in wrestling history. Okay, I don't know if it is, but hey, it sounded really great. It is now time for Match of the Week.
OWW Radio.
Now, for fans that aren't aware of it, Aaron watches wrestling. And I mean a lot of wrestling. Not only is he watching WWE, he's watching TNA, he's watching Ring of Honor on HDNet. So he puts a lot of time into these matches, and he's going to mention a forum that you can go to, and his article is posted other places. So do us all a favor. Do it. Go to where his stuff is posted, man. Let Aaron. Aaron says he put in 500 hours today. Oh, five minutes, sorry. Anyway, the forum is yours, Mr. Aaron Kendrick.
Well, I think you're overdoing it a little bit, but the places where you can contact me are radio@onlineworldofwrestling.com and Genesis. So we're going to get into it now, and check this out. We have one match from Raw last week, and three matches from SmackDown last week. So SmackDown was pretty much dominating last week. And the first match came from Monday Night Raw. It was The Miz against David Hart Smith from the Hart Dynasty. Now, Alan, this one started off whenever Bret Hart came out and interrupted The Miz's promo, because The Miz said that Show Miz was the greatest tag team in history. Now, what are your thoughts on this? What are your thoughts on this? Since you just absolutely love The Miz.
They haven't been around long enough to consider themselves. And I understand that they're doing it. I understand it's work. But how can you honestly compare these two to, like Brett said, how do you compare them to the Hart Foundation? How do you compare them to the Bulldogs? How do you compare them to the Valiants and the Funks, the Briscoes, the Andersons? We can go on and on and on about it. But it was, I know you're probably going to go into it, but as a fan, I thought it was set up really well, because you had no clue that all of a sudden you're like, oh, crap, that's Bret Hart. Yes, I'm totally into this.
Yeah, exactly. And whenever Bret came out and he said he had two tag teams in mind that were better than Show Miz, he was thinking the exact same as I was. The Hart Foundation and the Hart, or not the Hart Dynasty, maybe they are, I don't know, but the Hart Foundation and the British Bulldogs. And Davey Boy Smith, one half of the British Bulldogs, is the father of one of the men in this match, David Hart Smith, for those who don't know and have been living under a rock. But this match was pretty good, I thought. I mean, like, it was centered around, you know, the pride involved with the Hart family. And David was trying to stick up for his uncle. And the stipulation was that if David Hart Smith lost the match, that Bret Hart would have to come out last night if they didn't get stuck in England and say that Show Miz was the greatest tag team of all time. And so David Hart Smith ended up losing, and they got stuck in England, so I guess that was never meant to be. And so we're going to move on down now to SmackDown. It was Kaelin Croft against JTG. Now, Alan, what are your thoughts on Kaelin Croft and Trent Barreta?
I got to see Trent Barreta here in Florida, and I actually got to see him work in New York. I think he came from the promotion called NYWC, and I think he's a really talented guy. They fall into the same setup that a lot of wrestlers have fallen into. They're not humongous towers, so they may not be booked properly, but I think they're called the Dude Busters. Maybe I'm getting that wrong.
I think so.
It works. It works for their setup. They may seem like London and Kendrick for a little bit there, minus the obvious pharmaceuticals, which will be talked about later on tonight after we're off the air, because you're underage and I'm a straight edge person, so. But go forth on your SmackDownness, my friend.
Well, I mean, you really put it in a good perspective right there for me. And to me, this team is like a modern-day Rockers, because, as you said, Trent Barreta has a lot of talent. And to me, he sticks out head over shoulders above Kaelin Croft. And I've said that a bunch of times here on the show. But Friday, Kaelin Croft really impressed me in his match with JTG. And this one was centered around the breakup of Crime Time. And Shad was coming out and watching the match. And, you know, it just really added into the psychology. But, you know, a lot of times in our match of the week, we say that one of them's not really better than the other as far as matches go. It's just that, well, they're not really, there's not anything missing. There's just one better than the other, I should say. And that was the case this week, because we got another runner-up from SmackDown. And I think, I might be wrong on this, but I'm pretty sure that this is the first time in the history of Match of the Week that there's a person who's been mentioned twice in the same rundown. David Hart Smith is back in the list, as the Hart Dynasty teamed up with Rey Mysterio and took on CM Punk, Luke Gallows, and Darren Young and I know you're just a big fan of the Straight Edge Society, Alan.
Oh, bring it, bring it. I want to know how much Serena Deeb gets paid to have that bald head, man. She's got to be making the most out of all the divas, and if she's not, man, it's just amazing. But yeah, I'm kind of digging the Straight Edge Society gimmick and the way they teased it on Raw. We forgot to mention the tease. That was one of the actual matches for this Sunday that they actually worked into the thing with Ray Ray with the Clippers. And oh, I buzzed a little bit of hair to swim on a duty, considering I got no hair here, but... Go forth and speaketh on the six-man tag and the amazing art that it is.
First of all, I just want to talk about how Darren Young is in the match of the week list, and how there's been a lack of other NXT wrestlers in match of the week rundowns. Why is Darren Young rated last out of all the rookies?
The hair, dude. It's got to be the hair. I think maybe it's that. Maybe he's rated last by the pros or rated by the universe, because they're doing the two polls.
I don't know what they say on TV.
Yeah, I think it's the fro. It's gotta be. I mean, we may have a match of the week contender going right now because Handsome Heath Slater is taking on Chris Jericho tonight. So who knows what it could be? But go ahead and finish your thing. I don't know why I'm talking, man. This is your damn segment.
Well, you're a host.
I'm a host. Yeah, that's right. You're the host. You get to dominate everything. No, I don't.
Well, Darren Young, I just think that Darren Young has more potential than, say, David Otunga or Skip Sheffield. But we're going to leave that how it is and just say that this match was really good and it got Darren Young in on the map. And with that being said, we're going to move on down to the match of the week, which came from SmackDown. As I'm sure you just guessed, Alan.
But go ahead.
It was the triple threat main event with Jack Swagger, Edge, and Chris Jericho. And really quick, we're gonna talk about this one. And Swagger, as I said last week, he is adjusting to the role of being the world champion. And when Mace was on the line, he was talking about how, you know, Swagger he's still relatively new, but come on, he is the world champion, and he proved why he is the world heavyweight champion in this match. And if I can put it all into one spot, it would be the ending. And Alan, I know you just love endings because you've been talking about how much you love the lockdown ending all night. This one ended with, I believe, Edge hitting a spear on Jericho, and Swagger pulled Edge out of the ring and then ran in and stole the cover. A great way to get good fan heat. And to me, that just really, it's going to establish Swagger as a good heel, because Swagger, he's an old school heel, you know, and fans hate it. It's like I said earlier, you know, when was the last time WWE did something that wasn't original? And so...
Yeah. I, as a fan, I was very surprised that was the way that it ended, that you had... He's turning into what I guess you would call him as the ultimate opportunist. He's playing the great heel role of, you know, I'm going to get myself counted out, or I'm going to get myself DQ'd back in the day. Here, he did it great, like you were leading to... To basically lay in the weeds, as they say. And then, hey, he's down. Hey, I'm the champ. Yay me.
And, you know, here's a thing that you just pointed out. He's like an ultimate opportunist. It's like they're taking Chris Jericho and giving him Edge's role. That's really what it is, watching SmackDown and Raw every week. Because Swagger's coming out, you know, besides a speech impediment. He's coming out with the.
Watch the Daffy Duck talk now. He may have friends listening that are going to be angry at us.
Yeah, and you know he comes out wearing the suits like Jericho, and I guess he borrowed some hair frost from Michael Cole, but that's another story.
Ow.
And you know I just think he's Chris Jericho playing Edge's role. So on that note, I do have a little announcement about Match of the Week, Alan.
Uh-oh.
Starting next week, actually, it was talked about being started tonight, but we went ahead and gone on with regular schedule. But starting next week, myself and Nick Anthony have been talking about it, and we are going to start making Match of the Week a little more up to date and use a new part called the Monday Night Breakdown, and we're going to break down the best matches from Monday Night Raw and TNA Impact from the night before we do the show. So it'll happen, and then the next night, we're going to talk about the best matches of the show, and we will still quickly, not very much, so we will run down some of the best matches of the previous week from the previous shows, NXT, SmackDown, and Ring of Honor. So you'll have to be tuning in next week to figure out how that is going to go about, and it should be pretty interesting, I think. So it's going to be something to listen to.
Now, if I'm a fan, dude, how do I get, did you already mention it again? How do I get in touch with you if I got a problem with your, I don't like your Match of the Week, dude. I think it stinks. Where can I voice my opinion?
Well, all right. If you think that way, go to radio@onlineworldofwrestling.com and email us. Or if you're a Genesis member, then you can private message me on the forum. And then you can just tune back over here and listen to my big finish, which I'm about to go into, Alan.
All right, go right ahead. Hit, play that funky music, white boy.
Yeah, go ahead, rockin'. Oh, I hear the piano, I hear the doors, so that must mean that it's my time. So, OWW Radio, we're on iTunes, wrestling-radio.com, clickwrestle.com. You know, and Twitter, we're on Facebook, we got a YouTube channel. I don't know where we're not at, Alan. And so,
I don't know either.
You know, as I just said, questions and comments about anything can be emailed to radio@onlineworldofwrestling.com. And we want to give a special thanks to David Reese and the Cauliflower Alley Club for being a part of the show tonight and being a part of the conversations. And people, if you would like to contact OWW Radio about competitive advertising rates for indie promotions, websites, and more, as I said, go to radio@onlineworldofwrestling.com or get in touch with one of our producers, Scott, Corey, get in touch with Nick Anthony or Alan Wojcik, or even me. And so for all those people, this is OWW Radio. We're out.
Thanks for coming on, folks.
Through the hourglass, so are the days of our lives.